The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, here we go. It's Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton. I guess we have housing on the mind. During the 3 o'clock hour, we had Gina Beagle here, who bought what she thought was her dream house in San Luis Ranch. As she explained, it's just become a nightmare. Maybe she needs my next two guests. So we turn our attention once again to housing. This time, the focus is back on the Dana Reserve, the proposed project. Well, they'll explain. We talked about it before, but we keep the conversation going. This time we hear from two of the lawyers involved as we welcome back to this broadcast Eva Alls, and she has brought with her Babak Nafizi. Nice to see you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Dave. What's your connection? Who's the client in this case? Babak, who's the client?
So, Dave, we represent the Napomo Action Committee, a group that has been involved in this project since the very beginning. And we also represent the California Native Plant Society. Their local chapter here has been on record being very concerned about the impacts on the oak forest and all the other biological resources.
Eva, why'd you take the case? What was the appeal?
So this case to me is a balance of the sort of two big debates that we're having on the Central Coast right now, which is our desperate need for affordable housing. And by affordable, we don't just mean slightly lower price. We mean actually realistically affordable to the people who live and work here already. And then our limited resources, our limited water, and then, of course, the beautiful coastal landscapes that we all love and that make this a place, a wonderful place to live.
How about for you, Babak? What set up your antenna?
Well, one of the really incredible features of this project is that it's just so big. It will substantially increase the population of Napomo like we've never seen. And I think there's a trade-off. So if this project goes through the way it is proposed now, that means a lot of other projects won't go in, including some that would be infill in Napomo. And honestly, all the significant impacts on all the various resources, from the sort of vehicle miles traveled, how far it is from the population centers, the biological impacts, air quality, you name it. It's just a big, important project with a lot of significant impacts.
Eva, Kim, for people who haven't been following the issue, can you just give us a little overview as to what exactly the project is?
Yeah, so this is the kind of project that can be hard to understand if you are not used to public planning.
Yeah.
But it's basically a project that isn't in itself a housing development, but it will lay the groundwork for future housing developments, which are both going to be for housing and also mixed-use commercial developments as well. So it basically sets a plan in place by which future projects will have to do less review and less planning in order to bring themselves to fruition.
But we're talking down there by Willow Road and 101. I'm just trying to cite it for our listeners.
It's about if you were to travel from the ocean about 7 miles in and about 7 miles southeast of Arroyo Grande, you would hit this area.
Tract housing project.
A little bit of both. I think Babak might have a better way to describe what is planned.
How would you describe it, Babak?
So, yes, there's a variety of housing project, and that was touted as one of the benefits of the project. So there are there's opportunity for 156 low-income housing, truly low-income, but that will be built by somebody else, by a private entity who's going to apply for grants. And then there's, I think as of the last approval, 383 multifamily units, which at least for now are supposed to be rental. And then, so altogether, it's about 1,400 units. So all the rest of it will be a breakdown between smaller 3 bedrooms on smaller lots, which they claim will be workforce housing, and then larger, more luxurious homes that'll be, $1 million plus, will be the rest of it, and it's about 200,000 square foot of commercial, and then a variety of, you know, pocket parks and bike trails and that sort of thing.
Right. And this project was approved by the County Board of Supervisors on a 3-2 vote.
Correct.
So what does that mean? I mean, can you still take make litigation against it? Can it still...
Well, we have we file a lawsuit, and there's an ongoing litigation at this point. We have tentatively scheduled a meeting, as we're supposed to by law, to discuss settlement. But assuming, or if the settlement doesn't work, we intend to litigate the case and have a court take a look at it.
Dive into that further, please. What exactly are you calling for? What do you want? Are you trying to stop all the building?
Well, look, my client, particularly the Napomo Action Committee, with a variety of other actors in the community, worked very hard on coming up what they called a community alternative.
Right.
And so I think it is important for me to point out that our clients are not per se against all development here. They were hoping for a smaller development that was more sensitive to the natural resources and just the contours of the land, and that would provide more affordable housing. Now, some of that those concerns are very much reflected in the lawsuit in terms of the allegations that we've brought. But there are other important issues that we think there were deep flaws in the county's analysis of these impacts. And so the lawsuit focuses on some of these, what we consider to be deep flaws.
But if you prevail, what does that mean? Does that mean the project is thrown out, revised?
Well, all we can ask for is for the court to set aside the project approval and the environmental impact report. At that point, it's up to the applicant and the county to decide how they want to proceed. So the judge is not going to say, oh, make the project smaller or change this part of it or the other part of it. All the court can say is, did the county comply with the law or not? And then at that point, once the project is set aside, it's up to the applicant and the county to decide how they're going to fix those flaws.
Were you surprised by the vote, the 3-2?
I was not. I was not surprised by the vote.
Yeah. You want to comment at all, Eva, on this whole process?
Well, I do think that it was a process that took a lot of time. It was a complicated process. This application has been in the process for many years. There were multiple multi-day hearings. So it certainly is not something that happened quickly. And there was a lot of deliberation back and forth. But I do think that ultimately, if our clients prevail, our goal is not to have no project, but to have a better project.
Right, as determined by this whole process.
Exactly.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with my guests, and then we'll walk in your phone calls here in a little bit. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. We're back on the issue of housing, specifically the Dana Reserve. We all want more housing, but at what price? What about the process? I have two attorneys here who are challenging this project in court. Eva Ulls is with us. Babak Nafisi is also with us. So before we get into the grounds for the lawsuit, Babak, what has been the history in terms of have attorneys had much success in challenging these kind of projects?
Well, I've had decent success
in
challenging projects. Also, I've had decent success in negotiating a fair and balanced settlement that met the developer's needs, but also addressed the community's concerns.
So you're not chasing windmills here. You think you've got a real basis for...
I think we have some really solid legal basis for the lawsuit.
Yes. All right. So take a second here and let's talk. What's the basis of your case? What are you trying to argue here?
Well, there are a number of issues, and I think that it's fair to say that they're all very substantive. We don't really have any kind of ticky-tack procedural issues here. One of the most important issues in our area, as everybody listening to you, I'm sure, is aware, is the water supplies. The water supply for this project is supposed to come from the Napomo Community Services District as part of the water that they import from Santa Maria. As it was originally pointed out by Golden State Water Company, the water that they've allocated to this project was originally earmarked to be used inside of the Napomo Community Services District's jurisdiction to support infill development. Now, virtually all of that water is being set aside for this project, which means that there will be less opportunities for infill development inside Napomo.
And who made that decision?
Well, the Napomo Community Services District made that decision.
Okay.
NCSD has, in my judgment, not been able to really explain where the change happened and how it was authorized. But it's very clear from both the environmental impact report for the water transfer and then their contract with the other water purveyors that this water was earmarked for infill development. So that's you can have a debate about what you think about this. The problem really is that the county, even when the issue arose, did nothing to investigate it and to explain why, in the county's judgment, it was still appropriate for the county to rely on this water, despite the questions about whether it's legally feasible for NCSD to supply this water.
You've got to talk about water.
So, I mean, as we all know, water is the hot button issue in terms of future growth here in San Luis Obispo County. It is the major controlling factor. If we don't have potable drinking water to supply homes and businesses, we're out of luck for future development. And so each community, if we look at what's happening in North County with San Simeon and Cambria, you know, they're very much constrained by the water availability. And I think the problem with what's been set forth in this project is that it's setting Napomo on a similar track by approving more development than the water that's available, and by approving development that's outside of the area that was the water was promised for. We're setting up competition between people that want to and have a right to develop their properties for that very limited resource.
All right, so water is one issue.
Another issue that we raise is about fire safety and evacuation, because as I think your listeners are aware, this area is pretty prone to wildfire, and we all have experience with emergency evacuations that has been caused by these wildfires.
Sure.
And the EIR basically relies on this concept of sheltering in place.
That's right.
We've consulted with multiple experts and put in commentary by an expert that says shelter in space is just not a concept that is endorsed in fire science, and that this idea that you can be safe inside of these small pocket parks or parking lots while hot fire ember is raining down on you.
That's their plan.
That is the plan.
Really? I certainly wouldn't want to live somewhere where my out was to go find a parking lot and wait while the fire gathered around me.
Well, we saw that in Paradise.
Exactly.
A couple of years ago. That did not
well.
Work at all.
Yeah.
You've got to get the hell out of there.
So another issue, I mean, we're objecting to the EIR's analysis of alternatives because I don't think it's adequate, and I don't want to go into the weeds on that. We also are pretty confident that the comments put in by CNPS established that the mitigation for these special species of plants is not going to work, or not necessarily going to work. But the one issue that is kind of unique to our lawsuit that we raised here is this idea that a lot of tasks, a lot of expensive tasks are being put on the homeowners association. So all of the maintenance of the bike trails, the parks, the stormwater drains, all of the maintenance, everything is being put on the homeowners association without any analysis of how much is that going to cost? Will they be able to feasibly pay for all that? And what's going to happen to the concept of affordability if you have homeowners fees that are unaffordable.
Is that a typical strategy?
Well, it's not typical. I think that's unique. But it's not really a strategy. I mean, we're concerned that at the end of the day, maintaining the biological resources on the site, which was one of the promises of this project, one of the conditions, is going to get the short shrift because so much else is heaped on top of the homeowners association that 10, 20 years from now, if the project goes forward, who knows if that is going to be kept up. What we asked for and the county ignored is to come up with some analysis of like, okay, how much is this going to cost? What the homeowners homeowners fee is going to be? And is that really realistic?
Here we go. On the Stolberg text line, this lawsuit will increase the cost of housing. You say you're doing it for personal ideological responses. Can you pledge right now that you're not going to profit from this lawsuit? Well, you got to make money.
And besides, we're not the dog. We're the tail. Like, we have clients. Our clients have expectations and concerns about this project, and I think holding the county to comply with the law is as American as it gets.
Yeah. Any thoughts on any of it?
Well, I will tell you, going into environmental law is a sure way to be a lawyer and still stay poor. This is not the kind of drive a Mercedes type of law. We're usually operating on a shoestring. We work. Our clients are nonprofits, and if we don't win the lawsuit, we don't. We certainly don't go away with the full lawyer's fees.
Craig, what are you saying?
The house is going to sell for market price. The price of the house is not reflected in any lawsuits or expenses by the builder over the market price.
Yeah.
So you throwing that in there, saying it's going to make the house more expensive, it's not.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Question on the Stolberg line. Was the last time Napomo had a wildfire that included evacuation? Has that ever happened?
I can't speak to that. I'm not an expert.
But there's an increasing likelihood, given everything that's going on in California,
we're due at some point. I mean, I think we've been very blessed on the Central Coast that we have not had a serious wildfire in the last 15 to 20 years. But we had a wildfire in the Pismo Preserve, which, thank heavens, was put out pretty quickly a couple years ago. But I think the last thing we want is to have people caught in a situation that they were betting against, but they lose their lives.
I've got 1 minute left. Jimmy Paulding was adamant against this project. And this is his district, Babak.
That's correct. And I have to say, I was really impressed by the amount of work that Jimmy put into analyzing this project. And I had no idea that at the end of the day, this project was going to be such a net negative fiscally for the county. And his work that he explained at the hearing really established that, you know, the public is going to have to pick up the bill for all the services.
And he's an attorney too, isn't he?
That's correct.
Yeah, all right. We got a lot of attorneys around here. We're glad our guests are here. We're glad you're here. We've got news and traffic and weather. Then we'll keep the conversation going about the proposed Dana Reserve housing project. We'll welcome your phone calls and read more of your text messages. You're listening to Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, we are renewing the conversation about the proposed Dana Reserve housing project in South County. Tonight, we hear from the attorneys who are representing some of the folks trying to block this project in its current form, as we're back with Eva Alls and Babak Nafizi. Before I take the first call, question on the Stolberg line. What's the proposed time frame for the build-out in its entirety?
I believe about 7 to 8 years, although usually those are optimistic.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 if you want in on the conversation. We start with Ron in Arroyo Grande. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Dave.
Hi,
how
Ron.
Are you?
Good.
I missed the first half, so I don't know if this was covered or not. I've been here 33 years, and I remember something that the city of San Luis Obispo was limiting their growth each year to 1%, and the county was limiting their growth to 2.5%. Have they maintained that restriction?
Anybody know, Babak?
With the county, at least.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. I know that the growth rate was a hot topic in this case, and it is often an issue that the county issues a waiver on. And I also know, based on the comments that Supervisor Paulding made, that the county has not been very good at updating reports on the growth rate and also on resource limitations, which is supposed to be the basis on which they decide the growth rate.
Ron?
Well, don't you think that it would be wise to look up that restriction on the 2.5% and see if the county is complying with it? And if they want to waive it, then, if they have the right to waive it, to waive it. But instead of just plowing forward, I think when I moved here, or my wife moved here 33 years ago, Santa Maria had 60-some thousand people. They got 107,000 people. You see this traffic coming south. Yeah. I don't know if it's caused by the growth in Santa Maria, but they aren't heading north. They're heading south. And I just... The young lady there mentioned something about, the person has a right to develop their land. No, they don't.
I don't believe. Ron, I think you need to listen to the whole half hour because Eva's not arguing that.
Well, so you do have a right to develop land. I mean, that's one of the principles of American property ownership. If you privately own land, you do have a right to make a beneficial use of it, provided that that use does not interfere with zoning or with general plans or, the sort of controls that we place as a society to make sure that everybody gets fair access to resources in a safe way.
All right, Ron, thank you. We move on. We've got Katie in Napomo. Hi, Katie.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's so great to talk to you guys tonight. A comment on traffic. What I'm observing is that there is a lot of traffic that comes from Paso to Santa Maria and back again because I live in Napomo.
Yes.
And those are people that are commuting for their jobs. So they're able to live in those places, but they're coming into slow Pismo to get jobs. So the commuting traffic that's going to be added on to is significant, but I wanted to go first. My main concern here is thanking the lawyers for representing our environment, because in the end, that's a benefit to all of us. Besides sticks and bricks and mortar and businesses, there's real inherent value to open land, and we have some of that here. I hope it's preserved. And I'd like to ask, because this is a trend now, the competition for the original inhabitants of the land are oak trees and animals and migration corridors, and then human beings. How is this working out in your field across the state of California, where there's such a huge push for housing?
All right, we'll talk about that. Excellent question, Katie. Thank you for calling in.
Katie, that is a fantastic question. You've really framed the existential crisis that's hitting environmental lawyers even since I graduated from law school, which was not very long ago. I'm new to the field of environmental law. Babak's been doing it for about 30 years now. No, he's not that old. He's been doing
he's
it for.
He's also fresh.
Yeah.
He's also on
he's fresh and fresh and young. But no, you're 100% right. With a lot of the new laws that have been passed by the state of California to address the housing crisis, they are increasingly trying to bypass environmental review, and that is really scary because it leads to situations where the impacts to the environment aren't even known when a project is approved.
Babak, anything you want to say?
Yeah. I think that is an existential question that is affecting many, if not all, communities across the country, and particularly California. In our situation, the county has a policy of trying to, or directing developers to try to preserve oak forest to the maximum extent feasible. But there was a sense by the county here that they couldn't really limit the size of this project on that basis because of the various state laws that favor development over trees, for example.
Fair enough. All right, Katie, thank you very much for calling in. Let's catch Stan in the Pommel. Hi, Stan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was an agriculture teacher for 40 years and have a background in water tables and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm worried about this climate change and the impact it's having all over the West. And so my question is, if Arizona turns off their water to L.A. and San Diego, and that is about two-thirds of the L.A. water, what impact would this have on the Santa Maria water and the Pomo water, which is coming from the Mount Shasta?
Who has the answer?
I'm not qualified to speak to that. I know that we did have a couple of good years of rain, but that before that we had 7 years of drought, and I know that that is affecting all local water systems. So I'm not sanguine about the future of our water supply, and I think that's just what you just described is one more reason to worry about it.
Stan, what else you want to say?
No, that's it. Thank
you. Appreciate it. Eva, any comments?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I didn't really realize until I got into this field is that there's a thing that we call paper water. And it's the idea that water exists in principle. It's been traded or bought or agreed to, but that's no guarantee that that water actually physically exists in its H2O format that could be consumed or used by a human being.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Here's Jeff on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Bob. Hi, Eva.
Hi.
I had to laugh because county so quickly gave away the keys to 1,300 residences out in the Dana Reserve area where they're giving away somebody else's water. Last week we're fighting because they wouldn't give away permits to build 15 affordable houses, two of which are affordable in an area where there's like 1,000% more water. You actually need to do it simply because they like one project and they don't like the other.
Well, it is a pleasure to hear Mr. Stolberg, and
I'm so sorry.
It is a pleasure to hear the person who is calling, who is actually our co-counsel on a water-related case. So he knows what he's talking about for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's just interesting in this case because in the other case we fought all the way through federal court on, you know, there was no justification for denying the right to build 15 houses because there's plenty of water. But they're wringing their hands over it. In this case, they're giving away somebody else's infill water to, you know, to speculate and build a bunch of houses in an area where it isn't developed at all, rather than simply doing infill on existing areas that were planned for in the county's master plan.
Yeah, Babak, what do you say?
Well, it's true, and what Jeff is talking about is absolutely true that they're. The county was choosing winners and losers, and where it can develop and where they can't.
Yeah, Jeff, anything else you want to say?
No, I just wanted to say that it's interesting how the strong moral core shifts depending on who the developer is.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear you say that. All right, Jeff, thank you. The developer in this case is Nick Tompkins.
Yep,
a formidable force in the county.
He is. He's a very nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, I should be clear. This is no shade to Mr. Tompkins at all that we're challenging this project. This is a challenge based on the good of the community overall is determined through the county's process, which we say was not correct. And in the end, it's the developer also who gets kind of stymied by this failure to abide by the regulations and follow the process the way that it's supposed to go.
All right, quick break. We'll come back for a final segment. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. All right, if you want in on this conversation as we talk about the Dana Reserve Project, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Eva Alls, where can people go to find out more information about the project, about the lawsuit?
The Napomo Action Committee has a fantastic website where you can learn about the project, and I believe that they also accept donations. They are a nonprofit, and it is StopDanaReserve.com.
Kind of says it all. Here's Herb in Napomo on KVEC. Hi, Herb.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
Hi, Herb.
Yeah, thanks so much for hosting. So I've been very involved in the project and on the Napomo Action Committee and the Napomo Oak Alliance, and I was the liaison to the county for the community coalitions, including the SCAC. And I wanted to ask, Bebek and Eva to comment on how the community leaned in with the alternatives to make compromises, to try to make this work, and the county process, what the shortcomings were in that process that we were let down by.
Very good. Bebek?
Yeah, so I really was impressed by the amount of work that the community put into coming up with an alternative that would allow a residential project to be built on the site, but that was one that was more sensitive to just the natural contours of the land and would have preserved intact a lot more of the oak forest. Unfortunately, that process came at the very tail end, and it was rather summarily rejected by county planning. We were disappointed that there wasn't more of a collaborative, cooperative attitude where we could explore an alternative that would satisfy the community. And so that was a high disappointment, but we're hoping that as a result of this lawsuit, one way or another, we get a second chance to explore alternatives that preserve some of this majestic oak forest, which, you know, it was really moving to see all the young people and the members of the community turn up in the middle of the week to both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors hearing to really talk about how much this oak forest and these species matter to them. And you know, it wasn't enough to persuade the board, but it was really moving.
Herb, what else do you want to say?
Just want to say that, you know, to some that might say, well, this is all about neighbors that don't want change, that that, as Bebek said, there was so much community involvement, looking at compromises, looking at ways, learning about affordable housing. And I really, really appreciate Bebek and Eva and their firm stepping forward to represent the community in the best interest of the future.
So, I'm glad you called, Herb. Thank you very much. Eva, you want to comment on what Herb's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Our ideal would have been not to file a lawsuit. We would have liked to see the community input that was brought forward, the concerns that were raised, be meaningfully addressed, and some of the ideas that were presented as, I wouldn't even say compromise, as improvements to the project from the people who live there and know the area and love it. If more of that had been addressed and brought forward, I think we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have filed the lawsuit because we would be in a different spot with the project.
Anybody else want in on this? 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. On the Stolberg line, I love all of Jimmy Paulding's analysis on the project. It was so helpful against the project. Did he help develop the alternative? Was he involved in the process at all?
No. As far as I know, Jimmy Paulding was not involved in developing the alternative. But I agree that I think his analysis was very thorough and very informative, and he really, I think, understood the community's concern, but he really went beyond that to his fiscal analysis of the impact on the county was excellent.
Let's take another call. We have Dina in Napomo on KVEC. Hi, Dina.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good evening. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, as a local resident, I really worry about our evacuation routes and our overstrained arteries for getting anyone out of this community. And to increase the population by 25% and have them discharge on a couple roads that is not well planned after they have to circulate in a few circles, it's really scary. And for any type of development to think that you could have some type of safe harbor while embers cast over people's heads, that's not even what firefighters want to do. I say that because I've been in the fire service for 26 years, and it's just super scary. And I just wanted to express that, and I'm really glad to see you guys moving forward with this because it's not taking not only the current citizens but the future citizens in consideration for our public safety.
Agreed. I couldn't have put it better, and it sounds like you have some expertise in this area yourself. I think until you've lived through a fire, which I personally have not, but I know people who have, until you've lived through that situation, it's really hard to understand how serious it can get and how quickly.
Dean, anything else you want to say?
No, other than the fact that you can't have a place of refuge and expect people to somehow evacuate temporarily and then move out of their community. They don't even listen to the radio or the evacuation warnings. So it's not a viable option. So the EIR is completely false.
We can't have that. We have to have people listening to their radio. Dina, thank you. Babak, you were about to say?
I was about to say that in my experience, courts have becoming increasingly concerned, sharing the concern about wildfire safety and evacuation. That seems to be a trend, and so like we expect that to be taken very seriously.
Well, now here's an interesting text coming on the Stolberg line. I'll rephrase it. Basically, the texter is arguing by the standards and concerns you're laying out today, we would not have Cypress Ridge, Black Lake, or Monarch, whatever it is down there, Trilogy. None of these would have been allowed by what you're arguing today. Is that a fair?
I actually have no idea because I was not involved or reviewing any of the documents that were being put forward at the time. I think the key here is that in California, at least, the environmental laws that we're proceeding under don't require a particular outcome. They require an informed, robust public process. And so I don't know whether or not the public process was followed in those projects, but I sure hope that we can figure out how to make sure it's followed here.
All right, this is a long text, but let's see if I can do it justice. On the Stolberg line, your clients claim the Dana Reserve's 30% affordable isn't enough, but proposed a replacement project that is only 15% affordable. Your clients say they care about trees, but proposed a replacement project that cuts more trees down per home. Your clients state that they are worried about fire safety, but are on the record fighting for their own road closure. How am I not supposed to question their motives?
Well, look, I don't agree with much of what was said there. First of all, the per house metric is really not an appropriate way to judge any project. The alternative that was proposed, the community alternative, would have preserved much more of the oak forest and would have move development to areas that maybe would have taken individual trees. I don't know about road closure or what they may have wanted, but everybody I've been involved in this project has wanted and advocated for more truly affordable housing. And so I just have to disagree with that assessment.
What would you say, Eva?
Same. I don't think I quite understood the texter's points well enough to respond to them, but I certainly believe the American way is open debate, so I'm glad we're having one.
All right. And so what is the time frame for this lawsuit? When might it be heard? What's the process? When will we know whether you're successful or not?
Well, Dave, there's no exact way to tell. We will be having in the next couple of weeks a settlement discussion with the county and the real parties. If that doesn't work out, the county will proceed to prepare what's called an administrative record, which is basically all the documents in their files. That is a process that will take many, many months. There are potential for other motions to be brought, but in a typical CEQA case, it will take 6, 8, 9 months for the record to be prepared. Then it would take a few months for the parties to analyze the documents, write briefs, and then for the court, it takes about maybe a month or a few weeks to read all the briefs. And so we're on kind of an 18 to 24 month trajectory, I would say.
And nothing can be done on the project until this is resolved, correct?
That's not entirely accurate.
Okay.
It's the developer can elect to proceed, but they will proceed at their own peril.
I see.
In this case, I think given that there are very irreplaceable biological resources, We sincerely hope that they will not proceed until the case is decided. But there's nothing that would, there's nothing legally preventing the developer to proceed.
All right, fair enough. Eva, you want a final thought?
Just remind folks that if they want to hear more about Napomo Action Committee, they can visit StopDanareserve.com, where there's a lot of information and information about how to get involved.
Well, Bach, I got about 30 seconds.
I'm hopeful that, you know, we can negotiate a fair and balanced outcome here. So I've not given up on that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and I wish you well, and I hope that you will keep us posted. Off we go. We've got ABC News. Craig will update us on the traffic situation up there. Then let's have a total change of pace. Jeannie Miranda is going to take us to Norway and Iceland. Straight ahead, you're listening to Hometown Radio.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.